What I'm going to do now is I'm going to step away from the podium here. If anybody has any questions about how we're going to proceed, or George?
Can I just ask one question? A lot has been said already about wave attenuation. What does that mean?
I think this gentleman from Proc Marine probably can explain it as well as anybody. So do you want to come up and give us your
5 minutes?
Your information.
Gary won't take notes.
Thanks, Gary. And I'm going to be brutal about the 5 minutes, folks. I'll let you know when you have about a minute.
Does my 5 minutes start after I answer the question or before?
You can ask the question.
So, this is the existing wave attenuation that's at that pier right now, okay? And what it is, it's vertical planks, just like a picket fence, with a gap between the planks that's wide enough to let some of the waves squirt through. So you absorb some of the energy. You break up the wave. You let it squirt through, use the energy squirting through the picket fence, as opposed to bouncing that wave back like happens with the granite seawall that's up by the parking lot. Okay? So that'd be the difference, that this allows the wave to squirt through the gaps in the planks. But it's basically a picket fence. But I agree, it was confusing the other night. I sat here all night to help answer questions at the end of the program. And then, for whatever reason, people beyond our control said, we're not going to answer any questions tonight. So I was here. The others wanted to also. Mike and Bill also wanted to answer questions. Mm-hmm. They felt they could answer almost all of them that night, which would have been the best. Mm-hmm. So
you might want to use a microphone.
I'm not here.
That'll make it a little bit better. You're welcome to use this or that. Whatever.
All right. On the plan, what's in the pink is all floating docks. What was shown the other night in the rendering was a result of some previous meetings where people wanted to see what the wave fence would look like. But the wave fence is out further into the harbor. And I guess as long as we're talking about these long lengths, this would be traditional marina. You can park two boats in each opening. They can come bow in, they can go stern in. This is a more modern setup. You can say it's for mega yachts. If this is 200 feet long, it could be for 370-foot boats. It could be for one 20-foot boat, a 200-foot boat. It could be for whatever multiples. Also, when you do it this way as opposed to this way, you can raft boats next to each other. Wayfair Marine in Camden would be a good example of that. If you have a large group come in, this allows for rafting of the boats. This also allows flexibility.
Okay.
Whatever length boat comes in, they can accommodate. But if it's a bunch of 30-footers, they can come in just as well as the one big boat that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there's some background. I was involved with the construction of the original MBNA project. We helped a little bit with the design. Primarily, we built it. It was fast track. It's done on a schedule. I think it came out pretty well. Also, as far as in Rockland, I was involved with the Atlantic Challenge apprentice shop project.
Mm-hmm.
Just for some context, this is a 400-foot pier with another more than 200 feet of floats. So this is over 600 feet long. Probably at the time there was some shock value, but it doesn't look that long now. When you drive by, it looks like a pier. But it's over 600 feet long.
Is that up in the north end?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So would it be the same with floats as being removed in the winter?
Yes.
Where would they be kept?
Well,
they take up a lot of space.
Yes, they would. They'd have to deal with that. Now they deal with it also. But I don't know where the floats would go. But what I wanted to say was, I worked with the city on a project, redoing the city pier. So I was involved with the design group doing that. I could see the problems that the city was having. At the same time, we were doing multiple cost estimates for yachting solutions for different ideas that they had. So over 4 or 5 years, probably put 10 different cost projects together for yachting solutions. And then I also worked with the city. And what I wanted to say about the city's problems was that the dinghy docks, the city dinghy floats, the city dinghy floats are on someone else's property. Also, their main float is out in the federal channel. So both of those, right now you could say, are grandfathered issues. But when they go to reapply for some new project, I think it's going to be pointed out that they have some issues. So I knew about the city's problems. Also, the pier is at the end of its life. There was a used railroad bridge when it was put in, and it's not that structurally sound there, so that needs to be replaced. So, and also the Harbor Master's building is in the floodplain, and they have security issues when the cruise ships come in and out. So all those things I knew about, and in dealing with Yachting Solutions and their excitement about receiving the grant, the owners of the property came to see me, and they asked me what I thought. So if anyone's to blame, it was me. I told the owners of the Boston Financial property they should talk to the city, try to mutually solve some problems that they both had. And another design issue you should think about is that besides the federal channel, there's a 42-foot setback from the channel. So whatever you do, you can't get very close to the channel. And also, that is affected greatly as far as trying to do some wave attenuation for that area. So one of the goals was to create a protected inner harbor for everybody. That was one of the goals. Protected inner harbor for everyone. So the wave fence, the controversial wave fence to the east, is one part of that. It was actually splayed out to give more protection to the landing marina. It was tighter in, taking less of the harbor, but through some conversations, it was moved. I know you weren't asked about it, but it was moved to give the landing some more protection in the hard southerly. And then on the city side, if that pier is extended for a wave, with a wave fence, then you have a protected inner harbor to the point where the Black Pearl said, if you do all this, we'll just pull our floats back, put our floats just around our building, don't project out into the harbor. They made more room for other people. So there was a lot of mutual discussion that was done. And unfortunately, Yachting Solutions is more or less taking the blame right now, I think, for what was really a big attempt to try to get the whole cove involved with protect making a protected harbor. I don't know if my 5 minutes are up yet.
I gave you more than five minutes.
Can I ask a question? Can I ask a question of the gentleman?
Yes.
I'm going to come up.
Just because I want to point at this, okay?
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at a copy of the submerged land lease, okay, from 2008, right? And it shows the lease ending here, it doesn't show this thing sticking out at all, okay? It also shows it ending about here, okay? It doesn't show this coming out to the channel like that. So it's quite, are you aware of that?
No.
So they're now sort of pretending that this is theirs, but that's not in the land lease, in the submerged land lease that they have.
Well,
and they're pretending that all of this way out here is there somehow, but that's also not in the lease. And I don't know if you've seen, have you seen the 2008 lease?
So, as it's been referred to, this is a new permit application. The 2008 was what they were going to do at the time. But as you see, on the left side, that's the property line extended. That's why it goes out that far now.
But it's public.
This point right there.
It's not private. I mean, according to Maine law, unless they get a lease, it belongs to the public. It doesn't belong to...
No, they haven't said it does belong to them, as far as I know. This is some water that they were talking about possibly developing.
If I can interject here, when you look at the statute for submerged lands, there's a means for determining what areas adjacent to your land that you have a right to request to develop. All of the land from, I believe it's the high water mark down, is considered submerged lands. It's in the public trust.
From low water.
Excuse me.
Chris, all due respect, his 5 minutes are well beyond his time. A lot of people here tonight.
Okay, I think this is, you know, I think this is worth discussing for just a little bit more to clarify this. That I think what you're looking at is a situation where under the submerged land law, they have a certain area that they can request to develop. But they have to.
Who's that?
The property owner. In this case, it would be Rockland Harbor Park, LLC. But they have to get permission. They have to get a submerged land lease. And from what Joe was saying, and I've seen the same document, I think they may have to go back to submerged lands and maybe get some amendment to their lease. So they've got to try to convince that authority that they should be able to develop more of their lot.
If you own property, then where do you own to? Low water, right?
Well, some deeds are high water deeds and some are low water deeds.
Oh, they are.
But the state just says, as far as submerged lands, everybody owns the low water.
Yeah. Right.
But the deeds are
corrected
different.
On that photograph. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay, well, I want to thank you. Is there anyone else?